Psalm 119 here tonight. Psalm 119. This is only going to be the second installment of I don't know how many, because there's 22 sections. We'll see how some sections I probably won't take as long to go through. We'll see. But that's the problem with studying something and having something left over for the next week. The Lord keeps reminding me of some things. But let me remind you again, as I mentioned last week, in relation to God's Word, Psalm 138, verse 2 says that God has magnified His Word above all His name. As exalted as and magnified as God's name is, God's Word has been magnified above even His holy name. So that hymn that we just sang is very appropriate for this section of Psalm 119. Take time to be holy, speak oft with the Lord. Spend much time in secret and in His Word. Notice it says in Psalm 119, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Now you notice here, well, just mentioned last week, we saw in the first eight verses, one of the emphases that I brought out was that one reason why God's word is so wonderful is because His blessing is tied to obedience to His word. We cannot expect God's blessing if I disregard this book. There's no way. There's no way we can expect God's blessing. God does not arbitrarily send out blessings. So, just like our modern, so-called Bible teachers like to say, God loves you. Yes, God loves the world, but He is not going to bless somebody who's living in disobedience to His word. A second reason I want to emphasize here tonight is that the word of God enables us to be clean morally. Again, it says here in verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Now, this is not just for young men. It's also for older men, because older men can have a dirty mind as well. But I want you to notice here, the emphasis is towards a young man. Of course, the Apostle Paul told Timothy, flee youthful lusts. And I want you to consider the Word of God is the key to helping us to stand against these things. Let me just say this. There's a common saying that has been, I've heard it off and on over the years. This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Sin will keep us from this book, and then you just begin spiraling down spiritually. But again, wherewithal, or how are you going to have the wherewithal, is a common saying as well. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to... Notice it doesn't just say memorizing this book, memorizing a bunch of verses. It's not just memorizing verses, but notice taking heed, paying attention to, and then living this according to God's word. Now, with that said, notice with me Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. As far as the emphasis on young men, notice here Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Solomon, of course, has tried everything by this point, and he's found out it's all vanity of vanities. All is vanity. It's all emptiness. It's all worthless. All it's good for is the garbage heap. He's wrecked and ruined his life. He's lived his life with regret. And so now he's trying to teach the younger generation something. Don't follow my path. I made a mess of it all. I started off well, but I got away from God. Again, don't follow my example, he says. Do as I say, not as I do, as the common saying goes. Verse 9, Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. Whoa, I can do as I want. But notice what Solomon says here. All right, so yes, live life with zeal and so on. But know thou, remember something, that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Now, let me just point out and remind you, it's not just the bad things that are going to be reviewed by God. God's also going to take notice of the good things that we do for Him. But notice here again, he's clarifying, yes, rejoice in thy youth and so on. But remember, there's a judgment day coming. Don't live at the expense of the judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10, therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and notice, put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Chapter 12, verse 1, remember now thy Creator, not later, not when you're in your middle age years. He says in this passage, you won't have a need for it. You won't want those things if you wait that long. Remember the Lord now in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. I believe that's a reference to old age. I've mentioned this before, but we have a preacher friend who says that getting old is not for sissies. The older I get, the more I'm thinking that's true as well. But again, while evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. I have no desire for those things. Then he gives a poetic description of old age. Drop down to verse 13 then. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So again, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to this book. Now, you notice here this personal responsibility. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? We are all personally responsible. We cannot pass the blame like Adam did to Eve and Eve did to the devil. We ultimately are the ones responsible. It's personal responsibility. Well, my parents, you think about modern day psychology, potty training is blamed and so many different things. I mean, it's ridiculous. Why? Because I wash my hands of any responsibility. No, you made a choice. In fact, Lord willing here, we'll take a look at Ezekiel, I think it's chapter 18. And there's a proverb that was going around Israel, blaming the parents for their own wickedness. I want you to consider here, it's personal responsibility. I have a responsibility to take heed according to this book so that I can live a clean and pure life. Now, how does that work here? Notice verse 10. First of all, seek God through the Word of God. Seek God through the Bible. Verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Now, Paul emphasized to the Areopagus eggheads who sat around doing nothing but talking about the latest philosophies on Mars Hill. He emphasized that God is not far from any one of us. God is not playing hide and seek, as he emphasized in Acts 17. God wants people to find him. He's not making it hard. In fact, he's given creation. Listen to me, Psalm 19, as we remind ourselves of this passage. Psalm 19, of course, while you're turning there, Romans 1 says that even the invisible things of God are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Creation tells us there is a creator. Of course, conscience as well, according to Romans 2. Notice as far as creation here, Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And the only thing I like about going to work early in the morning is being able to see God's glory and his handiwork. I'll constantly quote this verse when there's a beautiful sunrise in the morning. Today it was pretty dark. I didn't get a chance to see much of a sunrise, at least when I went to work. But the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Again, Romans 1 says that all are without excuse because of this declaration. Day unto day utter speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone through all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. In them he hath set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. If you ever wondered why the days seem to fly by, there it is right there. The Bible tells us the sun rejoices as a strong man to run a race. And the older we get, the faster the days seem to go. His going forth is from the end of the heaven and is circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. And then he goes on into the law of the Lord. All right, so the word of God is also the way that God reveals himself to us. And then let me mention also, Christ also is a declaration of God. So what John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 says that he came. In fact, John says we beheld his glory. We saw his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. So again, seeking God through the word of God. But you notice here it says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Seeking God with the whole heart. I want you to consider that we cannot have half-hearted effort in seeking God. I want you to consider also we cannot have divided loyalties in seeking after God. Jesus told the multitudes in Matthew 6, you cannot serve two masters. You will love the one and hate the other. You hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. There's a lot of Christians who are trying to do that. But again, I want you to notice and consider, with my whole heart have I sought thee. And then his request, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And then I think it's Robert Robinson said, here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. I don't know if you know the story behind that, but he actually wrote that hymn and actually did wander off from the Lord. And according to the account, he was sitting on a train and somebody next to him was reading through some hymns. And this hymn, prone to, you know, the Come Thou Fount of Many Blessings, she was reading it and says, oh, this is such a wonderful hymn. Not realizing she was sitting next to the one who wrote the words to Come Thou Fount. And as he realized and was reminded of the words of that hymn, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. He was wandering at that point. I want you to consider the request that the psalmist makes here. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And let me point out here, when we're seeking God with our whole heart, that helps us to not stray and wander from his word. Notice something else here. How we can stay clean in a sin-darkened world. Notice verse 11, treasure God's word in your heart. Thy word have I hid in my mind that I might not... No, that's not what it says. We need more than just memorization. I have known of people, and I know my wife has mentioned, even when she was going through Awana as a child, there was a Catholic girl that was saying verses about as fast as her, but she was never saved. In fact, what was it? Not of works, lest any man should boast. She struggled with that phrase in Ephesians 2, memorizing and remembering those things. It's not just enough to memorize verses. Notice he says, I have hid God's word in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Now you think about the example of Joseph. Joseph knew it would be wrong to have a relationship with Potiphar's wife. I would sin against God. He didn't say I would wrong. No, it was a sin against God. Also, Jesus, you think about when he was dealing with the temptation in the wilderness, three times he was tempted, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. At least those are the ones that are mentioned. He may have been tempted far more than that, but those are the examples that are given in Scripture. But you think about how Jesus responded to that with the Word of God. So again, we think about hiding God's Word in our hearts that we would not sin against him. Notice with me Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let me show you... couple of passages here to kind of explain what we mean about hiding God's word in our hearts. Again, memorizing Scripture is good, but we have to make sure it gets to our heart. Amen. Emotionally, putting behind obedience to the word of God. Colossians 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. By the way, make sure your music that you listen to is filled with Scripture. So much of this modern so-called Christian music, I mean, it's repeating the same seven words 11 times. It's like, our God is an awesome God, our God is an awesome God. Yes, he's an awesome God, but let's put some Scripture into it, all right? So, you know, some meat to the music. But consider also, though, Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. Remember Matthew 13, as we studied the parable of the seed and the four soils. Remember in particular, some of those were not fruitful because the word of God was not able to get into good soil. So, are we treasuring God's word in our hearts? There's things that will choke the word if we're not careful. It says here, Jeremiah says, verse 16, Jeremiah 15, 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Now, does that mean, rip, I'm going to eat a page of the Bible? I actually heard about an emperor or whatever, ruler in Africa, that took that passage literally, you know, hundreds of years ago. And actually, he died of poisoning from the ink that was that he was devouring. He was literally eating Scripture, you know, the Bible, so to speak. But that's not what the Bible is talking about here. Notice it says, "Thy words were found, and I eat them." But notice here the key: "Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of." Oh, I gotta read my Bible every morning because the preacher said I have to. I don't think that's what that's talking about. Yes, sometimes in the morning we don't feel that enthusiastic, but you notice here, "Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing." One of the things that I enjoy as a preacher, technically getting paid to study the Bible, is this. I'll be studying through a passage that I've read I don't know how many times over the years. But when I slow down and actually study through something, it's like, wow, I've never seen that before. It's exciting to find something that we're not talking about new revelation. God's already revealed it to us. But it's things that the Holy Spirit at that particular reading or study say, look at this. Notice, "Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." That's how we get it into our heart. I can't wait to find something else from the Bible. "For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." So again, treasuring God's word in our hearts. Are we getting it into our hearts, not just our heads? We're not talking about just knowing a bunch of facts about the Bible. There's a lot of people who know a bunch of facts about the Bible, but they're living in sin. Verse 12, then, study the Bible. Not just read the Bible, but wanting to study it. "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." You notice here, an admiration of God, worship of God, helps us to have a desire to learn the Bible. But notice here this request that he makes of God. "Teach me thy statutes." Do we have a desire for understanding? Can I remind you that Jesus emphasized that the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, would come to help us know the Word of God. In fact, 1 John 2, verse 27 calls it an unction from on high, an unction from the Lord. The Holy Spirit helps us to perceive that. And that's the Bible doctrine of illumination. God wants to illuminate His Word so that we see it and understand it. That's what's behind Jesus saying, you know, that the Pharisees had eyes that couldn't see, ears that couldn't hear. They heard and they saw everything. They saw the miracles. They heard what Jesus said, but they were so blinded by their religion, they could not even understand. They could not grasp it. This is going to require time. Well, I just don't have time to do that. Well, we have time to watch hours of television. We have hours, you know, we watch the half-hour news show. Sometimes we read the newspaper. Well, I guess we don't do that much anymore. Go online. But how much time do we spend on our cell phones? How much time do we spend surfing the internet? Oh, I just don't have time. We have time for what we consider to be important. Do we have this desire to learn? "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Study the word of God. And again, as we study the word of God, it will have a greater impact on our hearts and our lives. Then verse 13, notice, "With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth." Proclaiming the Bible to others. Telling others what we've seen or what we've noticed in the Bible reinforces truth in our lives. That's one of the things as far as being a preacher. If I'm getting ready to preach something, it's like, Lord, I'm not practicing. I'm not obeying that command as much as I should be. In fact, there's a saying that that is common, especially in homiletics preaching classes and so on. You know, preach what you practice what you preach. And actually, the reality is we should preach what we practice. That's why I try to begin my preparation more than just the night before. Can I challenge you, Sunday school teachers? A little along the way, be studying your passage. A little along the way, study what you're trying to teach parents. You see, the Word of God needs to become a part of our hearts if we're ever going to live it. But I want you to think about this. You know, as I mentioned earlier, do as I say, not as I do. That's hypocrisy. We'll find that out here soon. I've been doing a little work in Matthew ahead. And I want you to think about the fact that, notice with me at Jeremiah 20. I want you to think about the fact that We should have a desire to actually proclaim what we are trying to practice. Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah had a pretty rough time as a prophet of God. While you turn it on, let me remind you that the Apostle Paul said to the elders of the church at Ephesus that he had declared the whole counsel of God. And again, I've mentioned this before, but that's why I preach through books of the Bible, because I don't want to hit and miss, because there may be something somebody needs that I've totally skipped over because, you know, after all, I don't need that passage, you know. There's things that I need to preach. And let me just say it this way. I believe the Holy Spirit lays things out in books of the Bible for a reason. So we'll pull a verse out and we'll emphasize a phrase. And then we've totally missed what the Holy Spirit wants to say. Jeremiah 20, verse 7. Oh, Lord, thou hast deceived me. Lord, you didn't tell me what all I was going to endure as a prophet of God. Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. Have you ever felt like that? Lord, you didn't tell me the whole story of what was going to happen with this. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I quit. That's the way we would say it. I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. I quit, Lord. You didn't tell me the whole story. I'm quitting. But notice, his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Remember what the disciples on the road to Emmaus said as Jesus was sharing the scriptures with them? Did not our heart... We need some good heartburn. spiritual heartburn. And again, proclaiming the Bible to others will strengthen in our lives. Last of all, notice verse 14 through 16. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Is the Bible more important to us than money? By the way, Psalm 19 that we were reading earlier goes on to say that. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. So do we like do we love the Bible more than payday? I owe. So I always love payday. Now, you think about this. So would we rather look forward to payday than spending time in the Word of God? Or, I can't wait till my rich uncle dies so he can leave his inheritance to me. You think about, notice again how the psalmist says this. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. Notice, rejoicing as much as in all riches. All right, so we think about what Solomon, we saw on Sunday in Sunday school, all the stuff that Solomon had. Do we rejoice? Oh, I wish I had a little bit of Bill Gates money. Or would we say, Bill Gates doesn't have this? Right. It's all a matter of perspective. Right. Have we prioritized the Word of God? Is it more important to us than money? Notice verse 15. Keep the Bible in all your thoughts. I will. Notice these promises that he's making here. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Notice, keeping the Bible in our thoughts. Meditation. Here's the best illustration I've come up with over the years, what meditation is. You know, we live in an agricultural culture here. You know, I know not in Lincoln, but growing up on the farm, one of the things I noticed is that cattle will go out and they will eat in the cool of the day. They'll eat, and they'll eat, and they'll eat, and they'll eat. And then in the heat of the day, what do? They lay down under a shade tree and meditate for a while. They bring it up as a form of cud, and they chew on it. I really believe that's a good illustration of what we're going to be doing with the Word of God. In the morning, before I head off to work or whatever, before I head into my day, get something from God's Word so that I can meditate on it, ponder it, think about it all day long. In fact, there's been times over the years the Lord will remind me of a passage going into a day, and then I'll be dealing with something that relates to that verse. Yeah. And it's like, just an extra reminder, you're going to need this today. Keeping the Bible in our thoughts. Verse 16, I will, notice again a promise, I will delight myself in thy statutes. But notice then, I will not forget thy word. Now, delighting ourselves in statutes. I was reminded of the story of a blind girl who's given a Braille Gospel of Mark. She learned how to read that Braille Gospel of Mark. And Over the years, she had read her Gospel of Mark so much that she was developing calluses on her fingertips. And in desperation, she couldn't make out the letters as much. And so, literally in desperation, she started cutting some of the skin off her fingertips, trying to get some feel again, and realizing that she had deadened even more of the nerves. And so, according to this story, she grabbed her Gospel of Mark in Braille and brought it to her lips. Farewell! Farewell, sweet word of the Father! She realized she could read the letters with her lips. That's delight. So if they came and took our Bibles by force, how much would we miss our Bible? Well, it sits on the shelf. I forgot it in the car. I haven't even looked at it. Job said, it's more than my necessary food. I think I've said this before, but how many of us have gotten to the end of the week, even the end of the day? So, I forgot to eat today. I don't think so. Not Americans, right? How many of us get to the end of the day or the end of the week? I forgot to read my Bible today. Is it literally more than our necessary food? As we close, James chapter 1. Beware of neglect. How can we neglect the Word of God? Again, the psalmist says, I will not forget thy word. How can we forget God's word? First of all, forget to read the Bible, as I mentioned. But sometimes it's a disregard for the truth of the Bible. In other words, forgetting what we've read on purpose, not wanting to call it to our minds. It says here in verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Again, I've mentioned this before, but it's like looking in the mirror, looking at what I'm looking like, you know, what I need to fix in the morning, put my hairs back in place and, you know, shave my face, whatever. For he beholdeth himself and forgetteth and goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. All right, so we see things in the mirror of God's word that needs attention. Some things that we need to correct. But notice what he says here. I see what I need to do, but I go my way and forget what manner of man I am. I forget what the Holy Spirit was trying to tell me that I need to do. Again, it's a forgetful hearer. Verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he not being a, notice, forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man, this is back to the first eight verses that we saw in Psalm 119. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Disregarding the truth of the word of God. Again, the psalmist makes a promise to God, I will not forget thy word. How many days do we forget this book? I over the years, on my busy days, when there's a temptation to just kind of quickly go through my Bible reading. Because Lord, you know I've got so much to do today. Those are the days, just without exception, those are the days I struggle spiritually. Yeah, those are the days that I... Why? Because this is a living book. Again, the promise that he's made. So why is this book so important to us? Why does it need to be magnified above God's name? Because it will keep us clean morally in a sinful, wicked world. Father, I pray that you'd help us to consider this book to be very important. Lord, can we honestly say we love you and we love your word? Lord, I pray that you'd help us to realize the importance of your word in keeping us clean in a sin-darkened world. This is a wicked, wicked world in which we live. Lord, we mentioned some of the things earlier. Lord, not just the actions of sin, but even the philosophies of this world. Holy Spirit of God, that you'd help us to prioritize this book. Make this book a major part of our lives so we're not sinning against you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.